How much could you save, invest, blow, and give if you had no payments? That's pretty rowdy. But Dave, I mean, I just don't, that makes sense, but I just don't know if I could do it. You know, one of the biggest barriers to people being able to win with this whole get out of debt thing is they have to believe it can work. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when there's no hope, it's hard to be motivated to move into things and cause things to happen. It's hard to cause that to happen. And I remember when I was growing up, my parents, as I went into high school and left to go to college, my parents moved out to the country, out to the suburbs, and got a few acres. My little sister was still in high school, and she joined the rodeo club. Now, how many of you have ever been to a rodeo or watched it on ESPN or something? Well, my sister got in the rodeo club, and Dad bought her a quarter horse to ride the barrels. How many of you have seen barrel riding? You know what I'm talking about? Well, pretty soon she wanted to enter another event, and the other event was like the guys' event. The guys have an event called calf roping. Now, calf roping works like this. Cowboy's sitting in the saddle. Calf is released. He rides out through there, lassos the calf. Horse is taught to stop, start backing up. He ties off. Calf is still running, has no idea. Slack runs out. Cowboy jumps from the saddle, runs his hand along the line. As the slack runs out, the calf says, stop winning in any. That jerks him back. The cowboy uses that backward momentum, flips the calf upside down, ties his feet together, holds his hands up for a time. How many of you have seen that? Well, the girls have an event just like that, only they rope goats. Well, that's what I did. I laughed. But don't laugh at a goat roper. They are serious about their craft. It's a big deal. She had a bumper sticker. I'm a goat roper. So pretty quick, my family figured out that we needed to have a goat for her to practice on. So we bought her a goat to practice on. We named him Practice the Goat. That's not a real picture of him. That's just a goat, okay? And Practice, in the Tennessee summer heat, I saw him out there. They got old Practice by the ears. They give him a little kick. He starts running out through the field, baby. He goes, I'm not a goat. I'm a gazelle. I am out of here. Well, she's been practicing. She rides after him. That rope goes right around his neck. That horse stops, starts backing up. She ties off. She runs. Practice is still running, has no idea. Snap! Winning in the knee. She grabs that goat, flips him upside down, ties his feet together. He goes, what happened? I thought I was a gazelle. I must be a goat. Well, the sad truth is they did that to that goat 14, 15 times a day till they wore a bare spot out there in the field. No grass. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around a goat much, but these are not real smart animals. But finally, old Practice began to catch on. I saw him. He started running out through there. He saw that bare spot, and he went, oop, I'll just wait here. Pain. He finally got where he'd run out there, stop, and lay down. We told her if we could get him to tie his own feet together, she could win every event. So what happened to Practice? The same thing happens to you and the same thing happens to me if we get beat up enough. We quit. We lose our hope. And I'm here to tell you, I'm the goat that got away. I found God's word and some big scissors. And I got away. I'm the other side of the bear spot. I'm the goat that escaped. And I'm here to come back and tell everybody that there's life the other side of the bear spot. There's a way to get there. There's hope. And I will tell you, the people that get out of debt, they have this thing in common. They seem to have this sense of passion. The proverb says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when desire comes, it is the tree of life. And these people, they well up inside and their voice changes and they're like, ah, we're getting out of debt. And they have this passion about them. And I can identify when I'm talking to them, especially on radio, because it's such an intimate medium. You can kind of tell when somebody's lying, can't you? Some of y'all are listening. You're riding around out there listening going, oh, don't do that. He's going to, no. You can tell, can't you? And I could kind of feel it, that, like that one's going to make it. That one's going to get out of debt. This one's got that rock star thing going, this ah, right? And I couldn't find it in Scripture. And I was reading through Proverbs because, listen, there's 31 Proverbs. If you read one a day, you get you a little spiritual vitamin, right? And if you read Proverbs over and over again and understand it, you'll have a master's degree in finance. It's in there. It's unbelievable. It's the book of wisdom, right? And so I'm reading through Proverbs, and I have Proverbs 6, 1 through 7. And it says, if you've signed surety, my son, do this. Now that's Old English Bible talk for, if you've gotten into debt, here's the plan. Now I had a spiritual experience with God a few years ago. I discovered God is smarter than me. And so when I see a formula like that pop up in front of me, my ears perk up. If you've gotten into debt, do this. And I'm like, oh, here it is. Here's the biblical answer for how to get out of debt. Wow, I'm ready. It says, give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids, and deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, a bird from the hand of the fowler. Now, some of you are very reverent in your interaction with God, and he tolerates me. It's called grace. And so I'm sitting there reading this, and I'm like, you were going to tell me like how to get out of debt and how to get people out of debt, and you give me animal metaphors. What am I supposed to do with gazelles and birds? Really, come on. Nothing. Crickets. Can't hear a thing, right? So that night he answered my prayer. I was scanning the channels, and I hit the Discovery Channel, and there were the gazelles. They were out there gazelling around. And I'm like, hey, I was just reading about you guys. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, a bird from the hand of the fowler. This is how you get out of debt. I thought, that's pretty cool. And you know the Discovery Channel was not there if the gazelles were there by themselves, don't you? You know someone else was there looking for lunch in all the right places, don't you? You know, and the gazelles, I don't know if you know this, they have a cheetah detector behind their ear and they go, cheetah, run! Because the gazelles know that they cannot outrun the cheetah. The cheetah is the fastest mammal on dry land. He can go from 0 to 47 miles an hour in 4 leaps. The gazelle cannot outrun the cheetah. And we had to slow this down so I'd have time to talk. This bad cat is seriously fast. And these gazelles, man, they are running for their lives. That's what they're doing. Look, he picked out a college student. Hey, kid. Hey, kid, come here. Hey, kid. Kid, you need to build up your FICO score. Hey, kid. You'll never get a cell phone if you don't have a credit score. Come here. Come here, kid. Come here, kid. I got a free T-shirt for you, kid. Come here. Let me tell you, God says this is how you get out of debt. You got to run for your life. You got to put it in gear. You gotta run, 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 run. You gotta bust it. You gotta bust it. You gotta go like your life depends on it. You gotta have gazelle intensity. You gotta put it in gear like you've never put it in gear. You can wander into debt, but you cannot wander out. You got to have this sense of passion, this sense of attack. Here's an interesting thing. God does not make mistakes with metaphors. As I got to studying this, it's very, very interesting. The cheetah only catches the gazelle, even though the cheetah is faster. He only catches the gazelle 1 out of 19 chases. I got to thinking, I wonder why that is. And then it hit me. Motivation. One guy's trying to have lunch, the other one's trying to stay alive. You got to have this sense of gazelle intensity to get out of debt. When you get that stuff boiling up inside of you, when you have what Les Brown says, he says, when you change your life, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, when you get disgusted and you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore. This is the last Ramsey in this family tree that's ever going to have one of those collectors call our house unless it's a wrong number. We're done. We're changing this thing. You got to have that sense of power. So gazelle intensity is how you get out of debt. And let me just tell you, the more passionate you become, the deeper you will sacrifice. And the deeper you sacrifice, the more money is freed up, and the faster you'll clean up the mess. And the faster you clean up the mess, the faster you don't have any payments, the faster you build wealth. There's a direct
tie, a direct relationship statistically with the level of passion, the depth of the sacrifice, and the results you get in this class and as you live out these God-ordained principles for handling money. It's interesting to me that God puts this much passion into things. He's passionate. They call it the passion, don't they? It's what they call the act on the cross. It's the passion. And yet we all try to sit around and figure out something, maybe kind of intellectually. Well, I'd love to tell you this was intellectual and you could sit without any effort and just manipulate some numbers, but you can't. You got to fix you. That's why God's all in this thing. He's all about fixing you. He's all about fixing me. There's a redemption story built into this whole thing. It's not just a redemption of our money. It's a redemption of our whole lives. And that works. It absolutely comes loose. So how do we get out of debt? What are the steps getting out of debt? The first step to get out of debt is stop borrowing more money. You can't get out of a hole while you're digging out the bottom. So you need to have a candlelight dinner, get the kids around, and have a plastic surgery party. We're going to chop them up. Chase this. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Money. Discover freedom. Sears, I'll buy your tools at the flea market. James Cash Penny, this is in your honor. Chevron, don't even like that guy anyway. Oh, Victoria's Secret. They take cash. Home Depot. Oh. They take cash, it's okay. And you chop them up. And you make a ceremony out of it. And then you make stuff out of it and put it on the wall. So your children are reminded that this was the time we changed our family tree. This is how the whole thing shifted. And even if you don't have children yet, someday you'll show them and you'll go, you see those things on the wall? They used to call those credit cards. They were all over our society. Now they're gone. Someday you'll be able to tell that story. Because see, I think the credit card is the cigarette of the financial world. I think it's just a matter of time before people start to wake up and go, this is killing people. We're not doing this anymore. It's coming, people. It's coming. People are starting to see this stuff. And I'll tell you this, as soon as you decide to get out of debt, as soon as you do that stuff, there'll be a test, won't there? The second thing we teach you to do to get out of debt is you have to save money. Remember when we did this in Super Savings, we said baby step one. You remember what baby step one is? Baby step one is? $1,000. So you get that $1,000 because otherwise you chop up all those credit cards and you go out there tonight, your tire will be flat. And you'll be back in here going, where's the crazy glue? You need that little starter emergency fund to catch your slack when you chop these babies up because you've been leaning on those as your emergency fund. The next thing you got to do to get out of debt is you need to sell something. Sell so much stuff the kids think they're next. Name the dog eBay. Put the cat on Craigslist. Some stuff's got to go. You got enough junk around your house to get you out of debt. Sell stuff. Put everything out there. Move it. Get rid of it. I mean, it's just junk. Get you some more junk later. Clean house. It is time to be debt free. We're being gazelle intense. The next thing you need to do is pick up some extra hours. Get an extra job. Some overtime. My grandmother used to say there's a great place to go when you're broke. To work. It's a sure-fired money-making scheme, this work thing. Well, I can't find any work to do. A buddy of mine that's a pastor says, go down there to Home Depot and get you one of those things that fits on your back that blows leaves. Because he said, rich people are afraid of leaves. Just go up, they'll say, I got leaves, I got, I'm here to help, right? You can find work in America today. You can make some work to do. Somebody needs their dog walk, bless their heart. And you can find all kinds of things to do on the short term. If you work like no one else, later you get to work like no one else. And so pay a price to win. And the last thing you need to do to get out of debt is you need to remember prayer really works. Prayer really works. Now, here's the way I've got this figured out. I'm no theologian, and this may not doctrinally line up with you, but just bear with a regular guy as he talks about this stuff. As far as I can read in Scripture, my Heavenly Father is absolutely crazy about me. He thinks I'm awesome. Your Heavenly Father is crazy about you. He thinks you are awesome, and He is really rich. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills and the hills. Everything's his. Now let me get this straight. You're deeply in debt. Your dad loves you and he's rich. Phone home, E.T. Well, I can't talk to God. He's mad at me. You don't know all the stuff I've done. He's mad at me. He's not mad at you. He misses you. How many of you have had enough kids that you got a stupid one? Just think about your Heavenly Father. He's got to be up there with Gabriel in the morning going, that's going to leave a mark. That one's going to hurt. You know, we laugh. We're made in his image. You know he's got to be up there entertained by some of us. He's not mad at you. You entertain him and he misses you. And his Bible says, his word says, his love letter says, if you phone home with the right attitude, he's going to throw a party and put a gold ring on your finger, a new suit of clothes, and serve filet mignon. It's in there. It's called The Prodigal. Look it up. It's worth reading. So what are we going to do? How are we going to work this thing? Well, there's a form there in the back of your book that we apply to this process. With the gazelle intensity, with that extra work, with that prayer, with selling stuff, everywhere we can get money from, we're going to start throwing it at these debts in baby step two. Now, baby step two is pay off all of your debt except your home using the debt snowball. Now, the debt snowball form looks like this. You list your debts, smallest to largest. You pay minimum payments on everything but the little one. And you squeeze every dollar out of any part of your life you can at baby step two, and you're throwing it at that smallest debt. We're not investing yet. We're not doing any savings at this point. We're gazelle intense attacking the debt as hard as we can go, as fast as we can go. Now, and so this is Joe and Susie's debt snowball. The first thing they do is they pay off the $50 bill to Diagnostic. I don't know who Diagnostic is, but if you drive near a hospital, you have to pay them $50. So the minimum payment on that is $10. They pay it off doing a garage sale, so they don't have that $10 anymore. So when they get to the $460 hospital bill, that's $38. They take the $10 and the $38, which means they're now paying at least $48. On that. Every time the snowball rolls over, it picks up more snow. When you pay off number one, you take the payment from there and put it on number two. When you pay off number two, you take the payment from there and put it on number three. And so every time it picks up more snow. When we pay off Home Depot or start paying on Home Depot $770, that's a $45 payment, but we freed up $48, so now we're putting $93 on the debt. Now when we get down to Chase Visa, we got $3,300 owed there. We're going to take the $93 and add it to the $150, which is the normal payment. Now we're paying $243 on Chase Visa. When we pay that off, we got that $243 plus the $310 car payment on the $6,400 car loan. So now we're paying $553 on that. So every time this thing rolls over, it picks up more snow. Every time you pay off a debt, you got more money to pay on the next debt down. Plus, we're squeezing every dollar out of work. We're squeezing extra work. We're squeezing every dollar out of selling stuff. And we're throwing all of it at the debt snowball. Here's what happens. Again, this is behavior based. The first time you pay off that little debt, you go, well, that's interesting. Then you pay off another one, you're going, it's pretty cool. Then you pay off another one, you're like, this might work. Then you pay off another one, you're like, hey, baby, get in here, look at this. This is going to work. And by the time you get to the bottom, you're totally in gazelle mode because you're believing it's going to happen for you. You get fired up because you start to see it. We're getting traction in our finances for the first time in our adult lives. You are ready to attack then because you're winning. When you win, it adds momentum to the program. It adds momentum to your behavior change. It adds momentum to your life. And that's what we desperately need in our finances. We've had negative momentum culturally for so long where our money is going to other people. And it's time for that to stop. It's past time for that to stop. Now, if you want to go online at DaveRamsey.com, you'll find more myths there that are covered. If you want to look at some of the other things, what about this debt or what about that kind of debt? I destroy them all. They're all destroyed. So you can watch the rest of them there if you'd like. And if you're in here and you're struggling financially, always go watch that Credit Sharks in Suits lesson online. It'll tell you how to deal with the collectors and how to properly go through and put together a plan. If you're really behind and you're really struggling, you're probably not bankrupt. You're probably just scared and don't have a plan. And I'll show you how to put together one if you're in that situation there. So time right now for us to take and do our 1 minute takeaway. What's your one or two or three takeaways that you're going to write during this 1 minute? Go.
Thank you for listening to Financial Peace University. Lesson 4, Dumping Debt. Please visit daveramsey.com/FPU for further information. This audio is copyrighted 2012 by Lampo Licensing, LLC. All rights reserved, 1749 Mallory Lane, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027. This audio recording is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. It is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. If legal advice or other expert professional assistance is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.